Hi, everyone. This is JJ, the co-founder of Good Pods. If you haven't heard of it yet, Good Pods is like Goodreads or Instagram, but for podcasts. It's new, it's social, it's different, and it's growing really fast. There are more than 2 million podcasts, and we know that it is impossible to figure out what to listen to. On Good Pods, you follow your friends and podcasters to see what they like. That is the number one way to discover new shows and episodes. You can find Good Pods on the web or download the app. Happy listening.
Welcome back to another episode of Fantasy Football with Gumbo. My name's Ja. And this is another episode where we are going to talk about sleepers. We're talking about guys who are available in more than 50% of leagues. They can step into your lineup, and they might be able to go ahead and turn some up. So I want to go ahead and talk about a few different flex players that I think could get you at least 10 points this week. I'm going to talk about a receiver. I'm going to talk about a guy who is who's in Pittsburgh, and I think he's going to be a beneficiary of George Pickens being ruled out. My other guys are going to be, running backs and other positions. One of them is going to be dependent on a pending injury. I'll kind of give more information about that as we get there. But I'm going to try to go ahead and give you a few guys who I think you guys should consider plugging into your lineup if you are in need of some help. Let's talk about the receiver boys. They don't call me the wide receiver whisperer for nothing. We're going to talk about a receiver this week. He's actually my favorite sleeper play. He's my favorite get-rich-quick scheme this week. I'm talking about Calvin Austin, wide receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Calvin Austin is a receiver who specializes in speed and agility. He is a threat to stretch the field at any given moment in time. Calvin Austin is probably the most explosive athlete on the Pittsburgh Steelers, and that does include Jaylen Warren, and that does include George Pickens. Now, George Pickens won't be playing this week. He's hurt. So, Calvin Austin is going to get an opportunity to step into these. I don't know if he's going to be maybe the most targeted receiver, but he's going to step into some opportunity, right? I told you guys earlier that his speed and his agility, it makes him a threat to stretch the field. Who throws a better moon ball than Russell Wilson, right? So this week, Calvin Austin and the Steelers get the Philadelphia Eagles defense. And the reason the Philadelphia Eagles defense is, I don't want to call them scary, but they pose a threat, is because they actually have defended receivers pretty well this year. So the Eagles defense is, they're like one of the fifth best units against fantasy receivers this season. So you're like, Jai, why are you telling me to start somebody playing that defense? Like, what are you talking about? Well, I'm going to give you my reasoning for that. At slot receiver is Calvin Austin for the Steelers, right? So Calvin Austin's this small, fidgety, slot wide receiver. And opposing him is usually a slot cornerback. Right, so it's a cornerback who covers that slot receiver. Now, for the Eagles, their slot cornerback is Avante Maddox. If you guys don't know Avante Maddox, and if you don't know anything about how he functions as a cornerback, Avante Maddox is a pretty quick, agile athlete, right? Like, it's hard to keep up with Calvin Austin, who ran a 4.3 40, but, hey, it doesn't hurt to have somebody who might run like a low 4.4. Somebody who can go ahead and maybe make up ground better than other options can. So Avante Maddox as a slot cornerback, hypothetically, is likely, the best match to put up against a Calvin Austin, because he can at least keep up stride for stride better than most other cornerbacks can. So, yes, hypothetically as an athlete, that's a great matchup. But in terms of how the Eagles run their defense, the Eagles, for the most part, run a zone defense, right? In theory, they run a multiple front defense where it can be 4-3 1 week, 3-4 1 week. But in terms of man versus zone, most of their schematic makeup is within zone, right? Meaning Avante Maddox, who is the perfect athlete to, you know, potentially cover Calvin Austin, Avante Maddox won't be following Calvin Austin outside of the field, or I'm sorry, outside of his zone. So in a zone defense, a defender is responsible for a portion of the field, meaning they kind of have to stay stationary. So if Avante Maddox isn't using his speed and agility to keep up with Calvin Austin, and Calvin Austin now turns into a zone breaker, right? Calvin Austin has a veteran quarterback who has played zone defenses a million times over in the NFL. That should be a good matchup in favor of Calvin Austin. Now, take into effect that he also gets opportunity on special teams. He's a punt returner and a kick returner, which is more exposure for him to potentially get into the end zone. But dude is, yeah, he's, for lack of a better comparison, he's Russell Wilson's new Tyler Lockett. Without George Pickens there, he's going to see more reps. Mike Williams is kind of growing within his role. He's going to probably step in as like that outside receiver who can get 50-50 balls the way that George Pickens used to. But Calvin Austin is going to be the game breaker. And the Philadelphia Eagles offense, their opposing offense with Saquon Barkley and A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts and Devontae Smith, they're going to put up points. You're going to have to play catch up, meaning you're going to have to throw the ball, which means you're going to have to get targets, right? So if the Steelers are behind against the Eagles, they're going to pass the ball and Calvin Austin is going to get his targets, right? So if they're losing to the Eagles, Calvin Austin's going to get targets. But if they are beating the Eagles, it's going to be because Calvin Austin got targets. I don't know if I phrased that in a tricky or confusing way, but what I'm essentially saying is, for better or for worse, Calvin Austin's going to be involved. If they're winning, it's going to be because Calvin's having a great game, and if they're losing, Calvin's going to get more opportunity to make up ground. I like him as a flex play this week. Maybe I spoke too much about him, but that's how strongly I feel. He's my favorite flex play of the week, and he's available if you need a little bit of help in your flex slot during week one of the fantasy playoffs. All right, I'm about to talk about the most random player I've probably ever talked about in this segment, but he goes by the name of Chris Rodriguez Jr. He's a complimentary back to Brian Robinson on the Washington Commanders. Chris Rodriguez Jr. is likely to be the secondary back this week. He stepped in a couple weeks back prior to the Washington Commanders' bye, and he had a really good game. If you guys do know who Chris Rodriguez is and the name kind of rang a bell, you know that 2 weeks ago he had about 93 rushing yards on the ground for Washington in their Week 12 win. Or was that Week 13? I think it was Week 13, sorry. But yeah, no, he's good. Now, when you watch his tape, it's not like super impressive. Like, he kind of runs weird. I don't know how to really phrase it. Like, he just kind of runs like, I don't know, like... you ever seen one of those dudes who like runs with his arms? Like, he runs with his arms super heavy and like he kind of, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's just swinging his arms super heavy. Like, that's kind of, I don't know. That's kind of what I saw in the film. But for whatever reason, it works. And the Commanders are an offense that's committed to the run. I know that because I have Jaden Daniels as my quarterback and I've lost a lot of touchdowns to their running offense, so I'm super familiar with them. Right now, Chris Rodriguez is gonna likely be the complimentary back against the New Orleans Saints. This is a game where Chris Rodriguez outsnapped and outproduced Jeremy Nichols, who was the other running back on the Commanders. Austin Eckler is out likely for the rest of the season, but he definitely won't play this week. So Chris is going to get opportunities to, you know, continue showcasing what he can do. And with how often the Commanders run the ball and with how balanced that offense is, like, I'm telling you, like, as somebody who has Jaden Daniels and could have used more touchdowns this year, even though he has a ton of them. I could have used more. But the Commanders like to run the ball. Like, they'll take the simple, easy touchdown. They don't, they're creative, but they don't force it. Like you see, like, Kyle Shanahan and, like, the Niners will get in the 3-yard line, and then they'll run, like, a jet sweep, play action rollout. Brock Purdy, instead of giving it to Debo or, like, Christian McCaffrey, will drop back 5 yards and then roll right and then get sacked. Like, the Commanders don't do stupid shit like that, right? They run the ball straight when they are near the goal line. When it's 3rd and 2, they run the ball. Like, they just make it look so easy. And I think that's going to continue this week. And I think Chris Rodriguez is going to be a benefactor of that. He's my deep running back sleeper this week. But his last showing for the Commanders, he had an incredible game. And I think that's potentially on the brink of happening again, because I think the Commanders are going to beat the Saints pretty comfortably. And I could see the end of the game being an opportunity for both running backs to, you know, get some more reps, get some more carries, and get some more fantasy points. So that's Chris Rodriguez, and I think he's going to be someone who could be solid for you guys this week. I'm super excited for Xavier Leggett to get an opportunity this week. Xavier Leggett gets the Dallas Cowboys this week, and he is coming off of a disappointing game where he made a mistake at the end of the last game, and he dropped a touchdown that potentially would have won the game for the Chiefs, or I'm sorry, not the Chiefs, but for the Panthers when they played the Eagles. Now, Xavier Leggett is one of my favorite wide receivers, and he was one of my favorite rookie wide receivers last offseason when we were talking about rookies. I talked about how I thought he was going to be almost like Debo Samuel 2.0. That ended up kind of being realized when he landed in Carolina. And we know Dave Canales is the coach out in Carolina, comes from like that Sean McVay coaching tree. So I'm talking he's the type of dude who runs an offense that uses a lot of pre-snap motion and window dressing to try to create mismatches and confusion for the defense, right? And that scheme is designed to get guys like Debo Samuel or Xavier Leggett, the ball in favorable matchup. So this week, the Panthers get the Cowboys. The Cowboys run a 4-3 defense. If you know what a 4-3 is, it's basically 4 down linemen, 3 linebackers, and it can be pretty susceptible to a lot of pre-snap motion shit. So when you have Xavier Leggett in at slot and he's running pre-snap motion, right, and he's going from one side of the field to the other side of the field, and maybe he's getting a sweep, maybe he's going to go ahead and try to get leverage, you know, on a drag route or something like that. That creates confusion for the opposing defense, but that also creates confusion for the defensive ends, right? So that's how you get defensive ends uncomfortable. That's how you start to get them jumpy. Because what ends up happening in a 4-3 is that when you have somebody who's coming to your side unexpectedly, you have to now think about who's going to cover them if, let's say, a cornerback doesn't follow, which, you know, in most cases they do. But your assignment changes based off of where people are. Now, with Xavier Leggett's skill set, he's great with the ball after he, you know, gets the catch. He's great with, you know, getting yards after the catch. But he also has a pretty strong target share right now in Carolina. I wish it was more. Right now, his target share is about 16%. But for Carolina, that's decent. You have other guys there like Adam Thielen and, you know, Jalen Coker. But Leggett is a primary focal point within the offense. And I think that he took last week pretty hard. I saw him like pretty hard on himself. I think he's going to come back. They're going to scheme him the ball. He's going to make big plays happen. And he's owned in 48% of leagues, meaning he's available in 52% of leagues. I like him this week against the Cowboys. I mean, somebody's got to catch the ball. Bryce Young's been playing better than he did earlier in the season. So if Bryce Young throws for 175 yards, shit, I mean, Xavier Leggett's going to get you at least in a game against the Cowboys. I mean, I think Xavier Leggett probably gets you. If Bryce Young threw for 175, I mean, I think Xavier would come down with about 50 of it. About a third of it. I think he's a red zone weapon. He's one of the, you know, one of the red zone weapons that they got in Carolina. And I think he has a pretty decent day this week. I think he's going to make up for the mistakes that he made against the Eagles in week 14. All right, and the next guy is going to be Sean Tucker, running back for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Sean Tucker is interesting because he's only going to be relevant if Bucky Irvin does not play. Bucky Irvin has a back injury. He's questionable. He's going to be a game time decision. So by the time you're hearing this, you're going to know whether or not Bucky's playing. Sean Tucker is a beast. Dude had an incredible game week 6 against the New Orleans Saints, where he had over 30 fantasy points. I think he had like 130 something on the ground and rushing yards. He had like 55 catching yards or reception yards. And he also scored 2 touchdowns. Dude is like, he's like a muscle hamster with a little bit of twitch to him. He's going to go up against the Los Angeles Chargers defense if he does get some playing time. And the Chargers defense, there's a lot of defensive backs in the field, so that kind of hurts them in terms of tackling sometimes. They use a dime defense really often, but they still do have guys like Khalil Mack and Derwin James and Deion Henley. I think the Chargers have only allowed like 16 points a game, which might be a little nerve-wracking if you're trying to get upside. But Sean Tucker is not only really efficient with his touches, but he doesn't have a single game where he's seen more than 40% of snaps. The game in week 6 where he had over 30 fantasy points, he got over 30 fantasy points while being on the field like 38% of the time. That's incredible. That's crazy. He's on the field for less than half of the snaps, and he had 34. Like, that's how efficient he is. So imagine a situation where Bucky doesn't play. The Buccaneers, if you don't know, they run, I think they call it a pony package. Liam Cohn is the offensive coordinator down in Tampa Bay, and a pony package is essentially 21 personnel. So it's 2 running backs, 1 tight end, right? In most cases for Tampa Bay, when you look at the Tampa Bay highlights, you'll see Rashad White and Bucky Irvin in the backfield at the same time. The Packers used to run it a little bit with A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones, where they would have both, you know, running backs on the field at the same time. If you sub out Bucky Irvin and you put in Sean Tucker, and now Sean Tucker is getting opportunities to touch the ball more often, he's on the field very often, that's only going to increase his opportunity to go out there and do something crazy. He is owned in 6% of leagues right now. 6%. Every year, there's a player who comes around that they kind of go off in the playoffs. They may not have done much the whole season, but they have their playoff moment. Like, if you think back to 2016, 2017, it might have been David Johnson, right? We've seen it in recent years where, you know, a guy will kind of hit his stride at the end of the season. I think Sean Tucker could be a candidate for that this year. Sean Tucker is a dog. He's explosive. He's elusive. He has 236 rushing yards this year on 33 carries, which means dude's averaging over like 6 yards a carry. That's incredible. Yeah, he's averaging 7.2 yards a carry. That's crazy. But the Chargers defense is strong. However, I think Sean Tucker, if he's just on the field, he's going to make plays happen against anybody. He can do it in the receiving game. He can do it in the running game. And he's a dog, so I would go out there and get him if I were you. Those are my 4 sleepers for this week. I don't have a super long list. Those are 4 guys who I think y'all should be looking at. I'm dropping this Sunday morning, so you might be in a situation where you're panicking, and hopefully we can provide you some insight. But otherwise, guys, my name is Ja. This is Fantasy Football with Gumbo. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Until we meet again, peace, and good luck to you and your teams this week.